Proverbs 23:7. For as he, what's that next word? Thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as he, what? Thinketh in his heart, so is he. The New Testament writer told us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The subject I'm dealing with today may seem a little strange at first, but really the writer of Proverbs is trying to tell us, he gives other passages, he says for us to guard our heart, for out of it are the issues of life. And as a man thinketh in his heart, as a woman thinketh in her heart, so is he. So it's a process of what we think that comes into our heart eventually controls what we do and who we are, our very essence of our being. And if there is ever an issue that's touchy, and I don't know, last Sunday night I think I run 50 off, but maybe we'll try to keep it down to 25 today. I'm looking at the subject. Are you ready? How to control our thought life. For as we think, so we are. So what we think on is what we become. That's why the devil vies so much and the world vies so much to get things to distract our thought. See, it's so easy to even sit in church and go through a whole church service and never one time think about God. All kinds of thoughts running through your mind. What are we going to eat for dinner? What are we going to do this week? Where are we going on vacation? What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about that? I wonder if so-and-so's here, thinking about everything except God. But as we think in our heart, so are we. Now, in the beginning, I have to say this, and I'll try to keep it brief on this point, but the mind and the brain are not the same. See, the mind and the brain would be like this piano to a piano player. Yes, they're coordinated together, but, you know, it takes one and the other. But you can have a great mind, a good mind, and a good brain. Or you can have a good mind and not be intellectual. Or you could have a great brain and an evil mind. Nothing worse than someone that has thought on evilness, and then the evilness is so controlling to them that from the intelligence that they have, that's where some of the greatest atrocities of history have come from. It's people that had brilliant minds, brilliant brains, but evil minds. So when we're dealing with our thoughts, we're dealing with our mind. And every one of us are bombarded today by distractions that are seeds that want to be planted in our mind. The devil wants us to think about it. Just a little old thing. You can go to church and all kinds of people get blessed and be blessed all around you. But one person walks out and you don't think they looked at you quite right. You know, I think they've got something against me. I think I better quit right there. So, but that can grow and grow and grow until soon it becomes a bitterness inside of us because we didn't control our thought life. Now turn to Psalm 119 and keep your Bibles open there because we're going to look at several things on how to control our thought life. The 119th Psalm, I'll be looking at one of the Hebrew letters, the letter Beth, or Beth, as you may pronounce it either way. But It begins with verse 9. Of course, you know this is broken down by 22 Hebrew letters. It's 22 stanzas. Each one of them has some 8 verses in each one. And the author, the composition of this song, is taking each of these Hebrew letters and applying them to something different. In Psalm 119 and verse 9 through verse 16, we're finding that he's dealing with a lot of things that are issues of our thoughts. Now, don't confuse as we look at this verse. He starts by saying, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto unto thy word. Taking heed according to thy word. Now, because it says, wherewithal shall a young man, a lot of you automatically say, well, that's for young people. That's not for me. No, that's not what he means. He's saying we would be better off if we started doing this when we were young. But it's never too late to do it. Just because you didn't start doing it when you're young doesn't mean that you still can't do it. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? So the first thing we see to control our thought life is purification. We need to get clean. Brian sung about it just a few moments ago when he thought that we were worth saving. He thought that we were worth saving because he cleaned us from the inside out. Amen. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, his path, his rut, his groove in life? How can we have that cleanse? So he's dealing with purification to begin with. So we have to have our mind purified. It has to get clean. If there's things in your mind that shouldn't be there, things in your mind that should be tossed out, you need to take care of that. To search your heart biblically means to search your mind. On Memorial Day weekend, Candy, she gets projects in her mind. And we don't have spring cleaning. We have spring cleaning, summer cleaning, fall cleaning, winter cleaning. Cleaning for each season. So on Memorial Day, she got in her mind that we would clean the outbuilding. Everybody's got a place that is a catch-all place. And with us, undoubtedly, it's our garage. And if it's not the garage, it's the outbuilding. So we dealt with the outbuilding. Probably 4th of July present to me will be the garage. But we do the same process every time that we do it. See, we're going to clean it. So what we do is we develop 3 pals. The keep pal, the things that we're going to keep. The toss pal, the things that we're going to throw away. And the giveaway pal, the things that we're going to give away. It seems like that she has a lot easier time tossing than what I do. She says I'm a hoarder. I don't know about that. I don't see a thing wrong with keeping things for a while. Some of you are laughing right now. Some of you are nudging others because you probably have somebody in your family just like that. You never know when you're going to need that one little bolt. She'll say, what is this? I say, let me think about it. Yesterday I had a brief chore, and when I got done I had extra parts. And you never know when you'll need those extra parts. So I put them in a box and I wrote on it. And I thought, you wait till you ask me the next time what is that. I'll know what it is. But that's what he's talking about, purification. The Word of God, when the Word of God gets in us, the Word of God starts to teach us. There's things that we need to toss out. There's things that we need to keep. And there's things that we need to give away. That's the cleansing process. That's what he's referring to. So first, this purification. In verse 10, we see the second step. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Underline 2 words there. Whole heart. First is purification. Second is determination. You have to say, I'm not only going to get clean, I'm going to stay clean. Because it's a lot easier to stay clean. It's easier not to make a mess than to clean a mess up. Would you agree with that? Stay clean. There's nothing wrong with that, having that determination with our whole heart. The Bible says in James in the first chapter, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. But I think it's interesting to understand he's referring to the passage too, where he says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, because after he says draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you, he also says cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. For a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now, it is impossible to really fully and effectively have a controlled thought life if we only give God half our mind and half our heart. If we want to have a controlled thought life, we have to say, God, I want you to take my whole heart, my whole mind, all of my thoughts need to be focused on you. And we do that through the Word. I really love preaching here. I hope I get a stay after I say this. I'm sick to death of half-hearted Christians. We need some people that are wholehearted. 50 years ago, a popular coat for women was an ermine coat. And if you are part of PETA, please don't send me letters when I say what I'm going to say. But, you know, an ermine, it's a type of weasel. It's called a stoat, S-T-O-A-T. And that weasel in the summertime is brown and its belly is white. But when the winter comes, it sheds its fur twice a year. When the winter comes, it sheds all of its fur, and it has a snow white fur. And they love to get those to make the skins, to make ermine coats. Now, when it's in the stage of pure white, it's called an ermine. And when it's not, it's called a stoat or a weasel. It's the same thing. Brown in the summer, white in the winter. But see, there was a problem. They would get these ermine by using dogs. And they would try to track them, but they would run to their hole and they would burrow inside. And when they would burrow inside the hole, then they couldn't get to them. The dogs couldn't get to them. They couldn't get them out. So they found out something interesting about ermine. Now, the weasel doesn't do this in the summertime. In the summertime, of course, they don't want the brown coats, but if they did track, because they will track in the summer just to keep the dogs in practice, but in the summertime when they've got a brown coat, they'd just go right in their hole when the dogs chased them. But in the wintertime, they found out if they would put filth around the hole, all types of filth, anything, could be grease and mud and dirt, just make the hole filthy, dirty. The ermine can be chased by the dogs, and when it gets to that hole and it realizes if I go in that hole, I'm going to get filthy, it will turn around and face the dogs instead of choosing to get dirty. It would rather die as get dirty. Now what happens is you preach to people all the time that's half weasel. In the summer, they don't care. In the summer, it doesn't matter how filthy that their homes are and how filthy that their life is. They'll just go ahead into the filth and keep going. But I tell you what we ought to do. We ought to say, Lord, I've got a determination that you have cleaned me up and I want to stay clean. I don't want to be dragged back into what I used to be. I don't want to be the sinner that I used to be, the person that I used to be. I'm not going to turn back to that. I have made my mind up to get clean and stay clean. Purification. But then finally in verse 11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Once you get cleaned up, and once you stay cleaned up by the word, then you not only need purification, and you not only need determination, but then you need fortification. Once you determine, I'm going to stay clean. How do you stay clean? By the word of God. Thy word have I hid. Now it's interesting, every verse here in the remainder of this tells us what we are to do with the word of God. Will you follow me real close? Thy word have I hid in mine heart. The first thing you have to do is you have to memorize it. Memorize. 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 I hear this all the time. Well, I'm old and I just can't remember the word of God, preacher. Well, let's put it this way. If we gave you $1,000 for every verse that you memorized, how much do you think you'd memorize then? I hear people say things like that and they have no problem. You can find minute things, and it's not wrong things or sinful things, but they know everything about it. They can commit all of that to their memory, but they can't commit the word of God to the memory. We are to memorize the word of God. Never think that it's useless to memorize the word of God. I have seen people at the end of life that all that they could remember was the word of God. That's all that they could remember. I know people that have stood by their deathbed. They didn't know my name. They didn't know their family, but they died quoting their favorite verse of scripture. Memorize. Memorize the word of God. Make it a point in your life to memorize the word, all of the word that you can, as long as you can, and never stop memorizing it till God calls you home. Memorize it. Then he goes on to say in verse 12, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Look, teach me. Teach me thy statutes. Teach me thy word. Same thing. First you memorize it, then you personalize it. That means when I have something committed, verse of scripture committed to my memory, and I don't understand it, I can pray and ask the Lord, may the Holy Spirit teach me what that verse means. Teach me, Lord. That's what he's saying. I not only want to memorize it, I want to personalize it. I want to know what that verse means to me. Then look, if you will, in verse 13. Verse 13, with my lips have I, what's the next word? Declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Again, he's talking about the word of God. Not only let me memorize it, not only let me personalize it, but let me verbalize it. Speak it. Speak the word. Speak the word. You'll be amazed the more that you speak the word. In fact, the greatest way that I have memorized scripture over my lifetime is because I speak the word. Any of you that have ever dealt with me in any counseling situations, you know that probably more than likely, almost if not every time, almost every time when I give you an answer, it'll be a verse of scripture, a passage of scripture. It'll be something from the word of God. And the more we speak the word of God, the more we memorize the word of God. So we understand we've got to say what thus saith the Lord. Then in verse 14, I have, what's that word? Rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. You have to energize it. You have to rejoice in it. You memorize it. Then you personalize it. Lord, here's your word. What's it say to me? Then you tell others about it. You verbalize it. But then you energize it. All of a sudden you understand that's what God meant when he told me that. And God has shown me that. And then you can't help but rejoice. Praise God for what he's done. An energized church is a church that knows the word of God. You build a church on anything less than the word of God. You build your life on anything less than the word of God. You'll lose your spiritual energy. But if you build it on the word of God, you'll never have to worry about it. Then look in verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. First we memorize it, then we personalize it, then we verbalize it, then we energize it, then we internalize it. Meditation is different than memorization. To meditate on the Word of God means that we ponder it, we think about it. The last thing I do almost every Sunday, Candy will tell you, especially during these times of month, last thing I do during the summertime, springtime, fall, when it's warming up, is I usually go out on my back porch and I sit down and I just take the Word of God. Take the message that's on my heart. Take it inside. Internalize it. It has to be a part of me before that I can ever share it and tell someone it's good enough for you. I'm so glad that Russ Breach is here today. He didn't know. I'm not going to embarrass you, Russ, but I hope I don't. But I, years ago, we, to save money, I would buy automobiles that weren't automatic. One of my favorite old cars was a Ford Pinto, 5-speed. And I always had automatics, used them a lot. Then I had a Honda, was the last stick shift that I had, and Russ bought that Honda. When Russ bought the Honda, he said, and there's nothing wrong with this, Russ, you did what a lot of people haven't done, but he said, I really like this car, preacher, and I'd really like to have this car. He said, but I don't know how to drive a stick shift. So the deal was with Russ and I that I would teach him to drive that 5-speed. And he'll tell you the first thing I did was pulled up on the off 139, started up the ramp into the church. You have to come up, and I stopped the car. I put it in gear, and I went. Now he's behind the wheel. He said, well, we headed out on 139. I said, no, pulled up in the church lot. And I said, stop! And he stopped. And I remember looking over at him when he started to release that brake and the clutch. It took us, I'm not going to say how many times, it took us a few times until he understood if you don't do it in unison, It'll stall the engine, kill it. But before long, we were going around, and he said, I feel comfortable with that. I feel comfortable with that. So at first, he was very nervous about it, just like I was nervous when I drove a stick shift the first time. But you know what? I would say, in fact, I think he's passed that on to Jeremy now. Jeremy has that old preacher mobile running around in it. And things still going. Maybe I should have kept it. But at first, it's real scary and it's real difficult. But if you keep doing it, what happens is that it almost becomes second nature to you. Russ, I'd say by the time you got finished with that car to pass it on to Jeremy, you never even thought about shifting. You never thought about stopping out here on Maple Bender, coming out on 139, never thought anything about it, never worried about it dying anymore, never broke out in a cold sweat, wondering what am I going to do if this thing breaks down on a hillside. You don't worry about that. You just, it's second nature to you. You get the feel of it and you just do it without thinking. That's what he's saying about the Word of God. We internalize it until it becomes our nature. And then he ends by saying, I will, verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. We memorize it, we personalize it, we verbalize it, we internalize it, it's energized, then we vitalize it. He said, this is vital to my delight. I can't be delighted without the Word of God. If I forget the Word of God, then I no longer will be delighted. I won't be pleased with myself. I won't have satisfaction with myself. My thoughts will be wrong because the Word of God is what brings us delight. Now listen, folks, get as angry as you want to get, but I'm just going to say it the way it is. The devil hates people that enjoy their salvation. And people that don't enjoy their salvation don't know what the book says. Because there's no way the Word of God's going to get in you and you not be happy. Now, you don't have to act like I act, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm not going to act like people that don't take in the Word of God because I think they're miserable inside. They are half-hearted. They don't know which direction to go. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I've found that this is satisfying to me. Well, what happens if a bad thought comes? You go somewhere, open the Bible, just read a verse or two. It'll leave. Let me tell you how bad it's getting. I have a preacher friend. He's now passed. He passed very suddenly. But I remember years ago him telling me down in the Carolinas, I believe it was in North Carolina, there was a fella that he got his thoughts messed up. He started thinking that the church was his instead of God's. He started thinking, I've got to stop some of this stuff going on around here. So do you know what he picked on? Shouting. See, he said, you all are too emotional. You all are way too emotional. That's a messed up thought life. If you get angry because people get happy when songs are sung and sermons are preached, you've got a messed up thought life. You weasel. You do. If you don't want to enjoy it, what's wrong with everybody else enjoying it? And he couldn't stand it. And he kept going to the pastor. This has got to stop. And the preacher would say, let's pray about it. And they'd pray about it. And they'd break out shouting all around him. He'd leave. He got so angry that finally he made a list. He sat there and he watched everybody that stood up and shouted. And he got his ink pen out and he wrote down every name. I see that one. I see that one. In one service, 72 people shouted. You know what he did with that list? Took it to a lawyer. No offense, Dave. And the lawyer says, what's that? He said, I want to sue these 72 people. He said, on what basis? Emotional distress for me. And the guy launched the suit. 72 people. I wonder if somebody decided to sue people in this church for shouting, would you be on the list? So they finally tried to arbitrate. There was no reasoning. His thought life was messed up. So they brought him in before the judge. And preacher said, I was in the courtroom that day. And said that judge came in with that robe. Said he had snow white hair and a snow white beard. He said he looked like Moses sitting on that bench. Said they brought the case before the judge. And the judge looked at that case and looked over at that lawyer and said, you mean you want me to rule against people expressing their joy in the religion that they have? He said, that's exactly right. He came down with that gavel and said, case dismissed. But his thought life was messed up. So you know what he did? He held the deed to the church. So he went to the church and they had big wooden doors on the outside and he took a big auger and he bore through the door on one side and bore through the door on the other. It was a Tuesday morning. He stuck a big log and chain through it and put a big padlock on it and put a big sign, do not enter. When they came to church prayer meeting night, they were locked out of the church. That was on Tuesday. By Friday, they buried that old boy and they cut the log chain 12, and they've been praising God there ever since. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when God sends the word at just the right time, something starts to stir down inside of me. Go ahead and sue me if you want to sue me. Take me to court. I have found my delight is in the Lord, and I will not forget his word. Our thought life. You hear me? It won't be people that beat you out. You'll beat yourself out if your thought life is not right. Let's stand together all over the sanctuary. Purification. I wonder how many people. I'm sorry, sit down. Sit down. Come on, can everybody sing? Sit down. I wonder, do we have 72? We have 72. Do we have 72? We have 72. Did I not preach the word of God to you today? Does it not do something? I guarantee you, you're not thinking no bad thoughts when you're saying, bless his name. Bless his name. Bless his name. What if they come to close the doors of the church? We'll meet on the parking lot and shout it out. Thank God. We ought to get to the place where we rejoice in the Lord. Well, glory to God. Well, glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. When we lose our energy, when we lose our vitality, it tells me any time in my life I do that, I'm not spending enough time in the Word. I'm not coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, you do by the Holy Spirit and the Word. You keep what you want to keep and toss out what you want to toss out and give away what you want to give away. Amen.